dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, sitting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP, SIP.
Hello, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 115. Wow, I think those make 10.
You've been doing this 115 times?
Holy no, God. No. I think I've only been doing it 10 times, though, which is impressive in its own right. Anyway, today's date is September 27th, 2005, and I'm Black Ratchet. Strom isn't here right now. He's gone. Whatever. We have Doug with us. Doug.
Hello.
Doug the man. Doug of,
hello.
Of Default Radio fame.
Default Radio fame. What's up?
Not a lot. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing much. Just co-hosting the show Binary Revolution Radio with Black Ratchet.
Yeah, that guy's a noob. Shouldn't do that.
Yeah. With a stank dog. I mean, Ratchet. Stank Ratchet.
Stank Ratchet. Actually, that should be my new handle. Stank
Black
Ratchet.
Dog.
Black Dog. Oh, Black Dog actually sounds pretty good. Someone wanted a cool handle, and I called him, like, Black Ratchet Jr., and he was seriously considering it for some reason. Your new name should be Black Dog. There we go. And you can spell it with the A-W in there, so you can be elite like Stank.
Black Dog of the Digital Dog Town.
Make like, a fun, like, saying, like, you know, once I bite into something, I never let go, or something elite like Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, God.
The Black Rabbit Dog.
Black Rabbit.
Black Rabbit. There we go.
Black Rabbit.
Wow. See, Doug, just getting you on the show, it gets the creative juices flowing.
There's too many handles already with black and white in it.
Yeah, that's the one complaint about my handle is that now I look back at it and say, boy, what was I thinking when I picked this name?
Yeah, but you're one of the originals, though. Like, white, so it's one of the original names. There's a lot of names today that people are coming up with that have white and black in it.
I hardly count this name as original. It's only been around for about a little more than a year now.
More than a year? How long?
So, it's May? May? Well, maybe April, I think. I don't even know when I registered the domain, to be honest with you. I think it was April. Maybe May.
Well, wait a minute. How long have you been in the scene? You've got to have been in it more than a year, haven't you?
June.
Yeah, really?
Slightly more
I
than a year.
I thought you've been around for a long ass time.
Well, I've been around, I've been around, but I haven't been part of the scene, as it were.
I figured you'd be on other forums and stuff, but I just figured you always went by Black Ratchet, and then you came across Bidner, like a lot of other people, and then...
No, I actually had a previous handle, but it was I started hanging out on BinRev. Never registered the name though, so I don't even bother go looking. And I learned about the wonderful techniques of owning people, and I was going, perhaps I shouldn't have this easily traceable nickname back to myself that has been my nickname for about at that point I think about 5 or 6 years, and it was thoroughly entwined with my real name. So I said, okay, let's go pick out something cool sounding and. All of a sudden, I end up with Black Ratchet. What was I thinking?
Black Ratchet. Well, it's a clever one. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I was originally I wanted to have like something one of those really cool sounding security lab type things or something where people release leet exploits and stuff. So I was going to call myself Black Ratchet Labs. So.
Well, at least you don't have numbers and. They have like uppercase and lowercase letters everywhere. Replace S's with Z's.
Yeah, that was one of my key things. Well, basically, I registered a domain first, and I wanted something that didn't sound too stupid and didn't require, like, leet speak or something crazy like that. And lo and behold, blackratchet.org was not taken, so I was very lucky. So I registered
I don't have the talent to come up with a handle. I never really had any handle. The only thing I ever had once was just CB, which was my name initials that I always went by on IRC by, and that was all I ever really used was my name. I never had any creative handle.
See, and when you were always talking about cbzone.com, and I never actually, when I was going through the archives of Default Radio, I always assumed you were really into Citizens Band Radio.
Well, actually, ironically, I was. That's why it worked. But I never used CB Zone as a website affiliated with that, though. It was just, but it's kind of funny that you bring that up, that because a lot of people did think that, and that was true. That's what I usually told people for a while, because in the bin rev scene, I never did give people my name. I always went by just Doug, because I just didn't know these people well enough.
Come on, Doug's a cool name. So, like I was saying, it's cool. It's one syllable, Doug.
Well, actually, I go by Charlie Douglas now, but people can still call me Doug. I went around changing it so I could use the. Someone came to me once and said that you really should start going, like when you make videos and any kind of publicity thing, you really should use the name Charlie, because a lot of girls, I guess, seem to dig Charlie more than Doug. A lot of people still consider Doug as the old cartoon Doug. And
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think of. And I talked to a couple of people, like Gray Area was like, you should always go by Doug Brickner because it sounds cool, like Late Night with Doug Brickner. And Charlie's more of a construction worker name. And then I'm getting all these mixed reviews, and I'm like, you know what? I go by Charlie in real life, so I'm just going to go by Charlie. If people still want to call me Doug, I don't give a fuck. So, you know, either one.
I'm voting for Doug. I like Doug. But I'll call you whatever you want.
I like them both. Mondays I'll go by Charlie. Tuesdays I'll go by Doug. You know, so today it's Tuesday, I'm going by Doug.
Wednesday, you'll go by Leapmaster KRAD 3000.
But yeah, anytime I make videos or anything, I'm just going to use Charlie Douglas. And instead of using like my last name, Brickner, because it's just long and, you know, annoying, I'll just, Charlie Douglas sounds more of a professional. He even sounds like a radio name, too. That was actually one of my dad's disc jockey names years ago. When he used to be a disc jockey, he used to go by Charlie Douglas because it was the name of his my two uncles. And that's where they combined those names for when I was born. That's why he named me, so... It's just, I think it'd be a lot easier to go by Charlie Douglas.
A fascinating look in Doug's handles, or Charlie Douglas' handles.
In the history of Charlie Douglas.
And CBZone.org.
A.K.A. Doug.
let's go head into the housekeeping, because people are probably turning off their radios already.
Yeah, be like, who the hell is Doug guy in Black Ratchet, anyways?
Oh, hopefully people know me by now. If they haven't figured it out by now... Dear God, you're slow, people. Sorry.
This doesn't sound like Spang Dog.
I'm pretty sure there has to be at least one or two people. I would say on the outside of 10 of people that completely missed the fact that Stank stopped doing the show, and they tune in like after we introduced ourselves, and they're like, "Who the hell is this? Where's Stank?" And probably like, I wonder how many episodes they might have like listened to. Until they figured out that, oh my God, this guy's here forever.
Yeah, did they still send you emails saying, hey, Stank, love the show, I just listened to episode 105.
Actually, funny you mentioned that, I got one of those last week. I'm up to episode like 80-something, and I was like, well, you got a surprise, don't you?
Oh, man.
I didn't actually reply to them, I let them discover it on their own. I'm a firm believer in learning for yourself. Anyway, actually, Strom has an announcement for us beyond the grave that he says the BinRev voicemail is back up at 213-415-1047. Apparently, there was some jitter buffer problem, which I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I don't know. He did some technical jiggly-jiggly-pokery with our Astra server, and he got it working. I'll actually need to ask him what the hell was going on.
213, so BinRev is based on in L.A. or what?
Yes, BinRev is an L.A.-based show, I guess. I don't know.
We're from Florida to L.A.?
Yeah. Well, like I said on one of my episodes, that it went from the night that it premiered and transferred from Florida to Boston, as it were, I was in Fenway Park watching the Red Sox beat the Florida Marlins, or the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. So I don't know, one of the teams from Florida. I think it was probably Tampa Bay. I found it quite humorous with the, I don't know what you would call it, the resonance or one of those literary terms. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I could say this is housekeeping. I found a humorous story today on the news. I was sitting there and I was watching it, and I was, really wasn't paying much attention to it until I saw the familiar Verizon logo. And I was like, oh, that's Verizon. They're on the news. I wonder what the hell's going on. And apparently, Verizon, in their infinite planning wisdom, one of their air conditioning ducts let go, and their Manchester long-distance switching system. Now, this wouldn't be a minor problem. However, this particular one that let go was right over their main telephone switch for the long-distance network at out of inbound and outbound of Manchester, New Hampshire. Manchester 04T, I believe it is.
Huh.
So, now, for those of you who don't know, telephone switches are large computers. And large computers and air conditioning ducts full of water don't mix. So if you called in or out of Manchester today and you had Verizon as your long-distance provider, actually, well, as your, Verizon as your local exchange carrier, you were hosed. And
yeah.
So I found that quite humorous, and they show all these little like Verizon techs going in and out of the building with like wet dry vacs.
Oh man.
Yeah, that sucked. Actually, in the humorous part for phone freaks is you'll probably get this. People who are familiar with AT&T and whatnot, the error message that they played to show you anyway, the error message that the TV station was getting was actually the error message from AT&T telling about telephone facility trouble. And they were billing it as a Verizon announcement, and I found that quite humorous.
Yeah, that's something to laugh at, especially when you're in the phones.
Well, you can always laugh at Verizon because it's just so easy.
Hey, Verizon's still cool, okay?
No. I don't know. Verizon Bell Atlantic is cool. I've always heard interesting things about your Verizon out in the West Coast.
You know what? I don't care what Strom says. Verizon GTE, well, a lot of their stuff's on default, I'll give you that, but they're reliable.
Well, I'm sure. I always say I'm sure they're reliable.
You know, I've had the best Verizon phone service out in the GTE, mostly, probably specifically my area. There's a lot in Southern California, a lot of GT areas in Southern California that Strom's probably familiar with that I'm not familiar with, which might suck, you know, but as far as my central office at my old house, I never had a problem.
Oh.
So, I've never had any problem with GT. There's a little things here and there that, you know, Strom makes fun of as far as the switch goes, and that's fine, but I've never had GT, even when GT was our telephone company before Verizon bought them out, we never had any problem with them.
Well, a ringing endorsement from Doug. Or Charlie. Actually, tell you what, we can use both names, and we can say two people like GTE.
Oh God.
Anyway, well, that's pretty much it for housekeeping. Let's go into the email. Our first email tonight is from Alex. It says, "Hi, insert current name of Coast here. Just finished listening to episode 113. Yeah, I know I'm a week behind. And especially like the part on cell phones. Yes, Nextel speakerphone is irritating, but the most annoying cell phone thing, in my opinion, is people who like to put their entire songs on their ringtone, like the person who's got theirs set to Stairway to Heaven and decides to listen to the entire song before answering it. Also, you mentioned that the highest data speed you can get over a cell phone in the States is something like 48 kilobits per second. This doesn't seem to be true. Recently, a friend told me about Verizon's data service, which claims to give you 144 kilobit burst transfer rate at a constant rate around 60 to 80 kilobits per second. My friend claims to get constant speed around 120K, but not having a USB cable for my cell phone, I can't test this. Here's a link to Verizon's description of the service, and it's tinyurl.com/alpha-delta-x-ray-4-papa. If the transfer rate is good, as my friend said, and the latency isn't too bad, 64 kilobit EULA wouldn't be out of the question. This would make VoIP over your cell phone quite usable. Once again, keep up the good work, and I look forward to the live show you guys claim are coming up." Well, I think we mentioned this in the show. I can't really remember, and I really didn't want to listen to the whole show to find out. Yes, Verizon's uber-fast service you can't use VoIP over it. It is fast. I believe the actual top speed they bill it out is 144 kilobits. But And as always, your mileage may vary. And also, I think it's quite expensive, like $100 a month. You don't actually get this on every cell phone, as far as I remember. It's something you have to subscribe specifically to. Also, actually, I had a couple of friends who had this a few years ago, and they told me, and what I've observed, is coverage was very spotty, at least in Boston. And they told me other major cities, but I wasn't there. However, this I guess you could say this is a very real alternative, and I hope that soon I will be getting an uber-fast connection down to my cell phone, much like they have in Japan. I think Japan's actually starting to shoot for 1.5 megabits down to your cell phone, which is
wow,
insane.
Currently, I have, I think, a 33.6K modem on my wireless internet. I actually got that recently. I have a T-Mobile phone. For an extra $20, you get unlimited internet. I've been using Bluetooth with my PDA, my Dell Axon, for months now, and it's awesome. I mean, it's the speed of dial-up, but for instant messaging, email, and web surfing, it does the job.
You like it and everything?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any complaint at all. I've been using Pop Email with it, instant messaging with AIM, a couple other things, too. IRC I use with it. I also remote SSH to my box once in a while. And just for basic web surfing, it's about the speed of dial-up, but for being able to surf the internet wherever the hell you are, pretty much, it's a good deal. T-Mobile has always had the best, I think, data plans out of any cell carriers, real cheap prices.
Yeah, T-Mobile is pretty good, but what T-Mobile does not have is a fast internet connection. Well, I'm sorry, not a wide coverage area. They're pretty good, but if you get anywhere out of populated areas, your cell phone drops off like next to nothing.
Yeah, T-Mobile probably has the third best compared to Verizon and Singular. Verizon and Singular are going to be they're expensive, but they do have the most coverage.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm a big fan of T-Mobile. For the most part, I have certain complaints with them, but none of with that about their coverage or their rates. They're very good as long as you don't go out. But I went up to northern New Hampshire. That's actually where I went a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't on the show, and it's way out in the boonies. And my cell phone, nor my fiance's cell phone, could not get coverage. However, if my sister leaned out deep on the porch, pointing in a certain direction, she could get a moderately usable cell phone signal from Verizon. So judge that as you will. However, I actually did have in my bag one of those old-school Motorola flip phones, and I just out of curiosity, I decided to fire it up and listen to the signal strength meter, and it received like 2 or 3 bars out of 6.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, yeah, old-school, kicking it.
That's awesome.
Anyway,
that was one of the things I was going to do with Verizon Wireless. When I had Verizon Wireless, I was going to get a brick phone off eBay, and you can still, I think to this day, you can still do this, but they will legally activate your ESN with any old analog phone as long as you don't have a roaming plan. You can't use, like, America's Choice. You can use a digital basic plan, and you can still legally have a brick phone and have phone service with it.
Actually listening to Off the Hook, I'm not sure if it was this week or last, that apparently that Verizon, if you have an old-school flip phone, which I do have, we a few friends from Boston 2600, we inherited a cache, and my prized possession, which is the one I used in New Hampshire, is a 9X mobile phone. So that's pretty old-school, and I was just like, I want that one. Give me it. But anyway, so the thing was that apparently Verizon will not activate your phone anymore, or at least I wasn't able to confirm this, is what I heard from Off the Hook. They will not activate your phone if you do not have that E911 GPS thing in your phone.
Yeah, all their new phones, they do have that E911. I would assume that you can still use phones that if you've had them, what's the right word? If they've already been activated with Verizon, I would assume you would still be able to use those. But I think for new activation purposes, they probably can't do it legally.
Our next email tonight is from Dr. Zygmunt, and apparently he says the carrot is silent, which I believe is a in-joke. Read the front page of binrev.com, by the way. Stank posted an update of what's going on. Hi, guys. I was curious as to the specific differences between the older and now private PGP versus the still-free GPG, otherwise known as GNU Privacy Guard. Are the protocols different, Or is the one simply a clone of the other? Can you use the two interchangeably, i.e., can a message be encrypted with a public GPG key with the PGP program? Keep up the good work, guys, and see everyone at Freaknik. I'm not sure. Do you use either of these, Doug?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I didn't
think
so.
What PGP is. I know what PGP is, but I don't know what GPG was.
GPG is a GNU Privacy Guard. It's an open source clone of PGP. Just enter GNU-PG into Google, and you'll find it, in case you didn't know what it was.
Who comes up with these words? GPG, G-U-N, Google.
Well, I don't know. Market droids get paid a lot of money to do this, and you can now see what happens when they don't get paid by just looking at the Linux movement and see what people name stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
heck, lame. Lame is not an MP3 encoder.
Yeah.
I will admit, I do like the whole, I don't know what you would call it, recursive
cool
things.
Yeah, they're cool names. They're very clever. I have nothing against them. I'm just saying, like, anyone that has no idea what the hell we're talking about, some completely, like, some old 80-year-old woman that tunes into this show and she hears GPG, PGP, GNU, Google. It just sounds really funny. Sorry.
Hello? I can hear people in my computer.
Who's
I can't
Google?
Talk to them.
Who's
Mr.
Google?
Mr. Google, are you there? I just like to think of I'd find it humorous if there was an 80-year-old woman listening to the show. So anyway, let's go actually answer his questions and stop making fun of the names. I'm going to say a tentative yes. The problem was back in the day when, you know, Phil Zimmerman was creating his Bathymatic scheme and PGP-1 was released unto the world, there were two protocols used for the key exchange, I believe. This is all could be completely wrong. I'm by no means an expert on PGP or GPG or any other thing. There were two protocols in this era. One was called RSA, which I believe stands for Rivest, Shimmerman, and Armin, which were the three mathematicians that designed it. And it was more secure, but however, it was under copyright and was restricted. However, not anymore, thank God. The other alternative was DSA, which I forget what it stands for, like Digital Signature Algorithm? I don't know. It was less secure, and it was designed by the NSA, so everyone had their little conspiracy hats on. However, it was free. DSA was the preferred protocol for GPG, I believe, because it was free, and back when it started, they kind of gave up on the whole NSA conspiracy thing. I'm not an expert of PGP, like I said. Everyone I know uses GNU-PG, or GPG, that's what they call it. So I'm going to send this one out to the audience. Does anyone have an answer on this? This is a good question. Do your homework, because after all, we've only got a few emails this week, and these are the only two that were actual questions and such. So that wraps up the email. I don't know the question. I don't know the answer. I'm going to say yes, but it could be for the completely wrong reasons that I do. I actually did a couple of cursory Google searches on this, and from the looks of it, it is supported, but they were talking about removing certain type of key signature algorithms to unsupported or removing it completely from the program back in 2003. So your mileage may vary. You be the judge. You know, not null on offers of pry, no purchase necessary. Let's go into personal hacking stories.
Man.
Doug, what do you have for show and tell?
Show and tell. This is where we talk about just any kind of hacking technology-related story.
Yeah, sure, right ahead. It's all you, man. Just go ahead.
You know, nothing really going on with my life as far as technology goes, although I do have a story about a friend of mine that got fired about something default-related.
Default? Was he listening to default radio? And they
yeah,
were
then
like, God, Doug kid, he's a noob. Can't listen to that
fired. Here. and then he got fired by me. actually, there was a story about a guy that a friend of mine, I'll keep him anonymous, though, because I'm sure he doesn't want to get owned out in the air. But he was working for this job, and he got the company interested in changing their long-distance plan because they were paying about, you know, anywhere from 10 cents. They had, I think, Sprint long distance or something. They were paying like 10 cents a minute for their long distance calls. And this had to deal with a lot of real estate agents for a real estate company, like Century 21, that kind of thing. And they were paying like a shitload of money. And he found ways to save the company money by switching to Asterisk, even VoIP as well for their toll freeze, using something like Newphone for their incoming toll freeze, instead of paying the shitload of money that he saw the bill, and it was just outrageous that they were paying this much. So he talked to the boss, and he had a whole arrangement of things that you can do to switch over, you know, how much it would cost you to upgrade the system and all the phones, and he was real interested in it. It was one of those, you know, we'll think about it kind of thing. Well, weeks go by, and we'll just call this guy Billy, and we'll call the boss Mr. Johnson, because those names are funny. So Billy walks into work one day and gets a memo saying he's fired from Mr. Johnson. He goes into Mr. Johnson's office and says, this is some kind of joke. I've been here for a while now. What the hell's going on? Well, it turned out that Mr. Johnson was really pissed off because the whole company, all their voicemails got reset. All the messages that agents had saved on there for months and months, all the greetings, all the passcodes, all the saved voicemail messages that were on there that had important information, because I guess they never thought of a thing called a pen and paper to write down people's phone numbers and clients' phone numbers. They had to rely on the voicemail. But apparently everything was deleted. And this was because Billy pointed out to Mr. Johnson a week ago that it was how easily it was to break into a voicemail system by simply spoofing a phone number and being able to be into the system without requiring a password. And ironically enough, kind of coincidental, that by telling him that a week later, that same incident happened.
Oh.
So Mr. Johnson believed that it was Billy's fault because Billy was trying to be a smartass to show, like, see how easy it is to break in, you should have listened to me, and you should have saved money. However, Billy didn't do a goddamn thing, nor did Billy even tell anybody. Billy didn't tell anybody except his boss about this and some other coworkers. And he believed that not any of his coworkers would have any idea on how to spoof a telephone number. Unless they were to, I don't know, maybe research it online and get like a spoofing service that's out there. You know, one of those web spoofing services that are out
there. Star 38, man. That shit's leet.
Yeah, it could be something like Star 38.
Isn't Star 38 closed?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think like the only one left is, what's it called, Telespoof.
There's Telespoof, and, yeah, well, you know what, there's like two or three other ones that went down recently, too. Spoofing services are dying. Telespoof's been around for a while. They've been pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Billy got really screwed in the ass by showing his boss his skills and showing him how, by trying to save the company, he ended up getting screwed. So someone either at the company screwed him over, or someone was just scanning around and finding out that, oh, hey, this system's on default.
Or there was just a massive catastrophic failure at a very, very, very bad time.
Which is kind of one of those things where, as much as someone you may know and work, I don't think you should ever tell anyone everything you know.
Exactly.
It scares them. It scares them to death. If you know all this stuff, they don't want you to know. Well, I've seen a lot of people in businesses that have shown them things like, hey, you know, you could do this, and you could break into this really easily. You should really fix that. Even though you're trying to help them, they kind of don't trust you because they don't know you well enough. So it's a good idea to keep your mouth shut about everything and just do your job.
Yeah, well, not even that. I mean, it's just more of, oh, well, hell, he can do it. Now that they know that you can do it, you make a very convenient scapegoat on what it is. I mean, it's not even just, you know, them figuring out what you can do. It's just, I don't know. It's a whole sticky situation, and I personally agree with you. Just, you know, eyes forward, nose down. My boss does, you know, a little bit of what I can do, and that I'm into phones, and I can do silly things on the phones and make them cry out people's numbers at a touch of a button.
Make phones ring.
Yeah, make phones ring if I just, you know, dial some strange number and then flash the hook.
If you dial some strange number that's associated with someone's cell phone, it seems to ring.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I just, like, dial someone's number and their phone rings. And I'm just like, yeah, I did that.
Which is new to me. I'm still learning how that works. That's
except if you're in New Hampshire and use Verizon.
Yeah, or if you live in Louisiana.
There you go.
Then you get a reorder.
So yeah, it's a whole interesting tip. Use your judgment, and always watch your back.
Yeah. So just remember, everything is always on default, including coworkers and their brains and acknowledging people's skills. They're scared of you.
Exactly.
So if you're into hacking or you're into any kind of technology and you know a lot of shit, don't be a smartass. Just keep your mouth shut.
True words have never been spoken.
Or you will get owned.
Yeah.
Save all your knowledge for a radio show or an article or, you know, any kind of TV show.
Come on, Denver Radio. Do a nice topic, and I'll get you on there. I mean, look at Dr. Zygmunt. I once again, I want to say, shouts to Dr. Zabun for last week. That was, like, one of our best episodes so far. And he's probably getting very embarrassed because I've said this, like, 1,500 times so far.
What did you guys talk about?
Digital video editing.
Something oh, cool.
See, if you listened to the show, you would know. I shouldn't have
told
you.
I told you. I listened to one full episode, and then I turned it off, and then I was disgusted. And then I waited the next week, I'd listen to it again. It was better. But then I got, you know, tired and fell asleep.
We should listen to it more because apparently we're cool now or something.
But yeah, that's cool. I got to tune into the video one because I usually when I look at the show and I see there's a topic that I'm interested in. So far, since you've been doing the show, I've seen a lot of topics that you've been interested in. I know that Stink really didn't touch upon a lot. You guys do a lot more telephony than Stink Dog did. That's
yeah,
because,
much to the chagrin of some people, sadly. But
well, I agree 50-50 with them. I think it's good that there's more telephony in the show. It's, you know, it's a very strong point in technology and hacking. It's very, you know, telephones come first before computers do with hacking. You can do a lot more with telephones than you can do with computers. Computers you can kind of do other things with. But at the same time, you don't want to just change the whole show format to just phones. You
exactly.
want to change it to anything in technology. And that's what a lot of people are fearing, like, oh, Strom and Black Ratchet, both phone freaks. You know, the whole show's changing. And that's not true.
So that's why we try to keep that whole 50-50 thing going. So, and I think we've kept to that so far. I mean, we're having a computer topic this week, so just to let everyone know. We're not going to tell you what it is yet, so fear.
Yeah.
any more topics or anything? Fun stories about people being on default and getting fired?
I have an off-topic story, if you want, off-technology building experiment that I'm working on.
Sure, what's up?
That I talked to you about on AIM earlier today.
Yes.
Yes. If anyone's familiar with a very, very, very good, probably my favorite sci-fi show of all time, Sliders with Jerry O'Connell and the dwarf from Lord of the Rings. I can't think of his name. I don't know. The guy who played the professor on the show.
Yeah, the guy was a dwarf from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the guy that is the dwarf from Lord of the Rings. That's all you need to know. Very, very good sci-fi show that sadly was canceled like every other good show in the world. But the premise of the show was being able to transport between different alternate dimensions, how throughout the timeline in each different world something changed one another, you know, different kinds of histories and things like that, and their purpose was to keep traveling through all these worlds to find their way back home. Well, the device they used was called a timer, and ever since I first saw the show, I always wondered what exactly they used. They had two different kinds of timers throughout when the show was on. The first one I did a little research on recently thanks to Google and the worldwide interweb, I found out that they used a Motorola flip phone to make the first timer device. And basically by modding the flip phone, I found instructions online on how to build your own sliding timer. Now, this won't transfer you through different worlds, unfortunately. I'd looked into that, but it wouldn't work. But you can have an actual countdown timer, and it looks exactly identical with the flashing lights and the knobs and everything, exactly like the timer and sliders. The first one was built off of a Motorola flip phone, and the second one, that case was built off an RCA universal remote control. And it looks really, really cool. So check out my website for when I start building this, and I'll put pictures of it. If I can't order one online for a cheap price of someone to build it, then I will get the instructions, and I will post it on my website and show you how to make one. I'll take pictures and maybe even make a video for Doug TV about building your own timer device and then make a little science fiction movie with Lucky.
Oh, but, man, I can't picture sickle sliders with Lucky. they get stuck in, like, you know, the communist dimension, and they're like, he's like, oh, owned.
I think Lucky is a god. You know, I think if we make a show about building your own timer and then add a little sci-fi into it, I think that's what I'm going to do. I plan on doing with some cheesy science fiction effects, but the timer looks really cool. I'm going to post some pictures that I saw on this website and post the website on my website today, which is spam, cdouglas.org.
Nothing wrong with giving a shameless plug. I mean, heck, we're going to talk about
it. It really is a cool design, though, I think, because it's one of the things there's always been a couple of sci-fi gizmos, like the hoverboard in Back to the Future 2. I've always wanted one. Not one that flew, but just the design of it looked cool, you know?
I don't want the pink one, personally.
No, nah, maybe
not. If it was blue or something, yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you there. I also totally agree with you on the sliders phone. I mean, I always liked that when I actually first started watching the series back in 94, was it? Oh, man, way back when.
And, you know, I was watching Jumanji the other day, and I remember when that movie first came out, and they had a board game. Milton Bradley made a game version of it, okay? And I was thinking, because I was young and really dumb, that fucking when you were to get the game, that it would actually look exactly like the Jumanji board, like with the opening wood doors and everything and how it would open up, the pieces being like really the dice, you know, the just how it looked. I knew that obviously they weren't going to spend too much money and have like a little globe in the middle float up or have any of the pieces move, but the design of it would have been cool. Of course, when I got it, it was a cheap piece of crap Milton Bradley board game, but I was looking on eBay, and no one has ever invented or come up with an actual duplicate of that board. And that would just be another souvenir, not really a souvenir, just some kind of little toy to have. They make lightsabers. They sell them for hundreds of dollars on eBay, but they don't make a sliders timer device or a hoverboard.
Well,
these are things that get away from Star Wars. Let's go focusing on other science fiction and fantasy movies.
Well, funny that you bring you up. A brother of a friend... is actually a huge Star Wars, not Star Wars, oh God, see what you got me doing? Is a huge Ghostbusters freak.
Uh-huh.
And he's nuts. He and what he has done is he has built not only four backpacks or whatever you call them, ecto containment units or something.
Okay.
Four traps. He also has built not one, but two Ghostbuster mobiles or whatever they called it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, well, he had one where it was a Cadillac ambulance, which I think was, it looks extremely similar to the original Ghostbuster mobile. I don't know what they actually call it. The car they used in the movie. And he restored it, and it looked a lot like it. And I think that his website said, anyway, I was going through this, and I actually found the original model. And it was for sale for, like, you know, $1,000, so I bought it, and I'm actually going to restore this one, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the guy's insane. He's got the skills, but still, wow, holy crap.
You know, I got a buddy of mine bought, because he's, you know, he's graduated with a master's, and he has, like, a well-paying job, so he's allowed to buy things like this. He bought himself $100 or $150 lightsaber. I mean, I'll get back into the Star Wars crap that everyone always has. But this lightsaber really was cool as shit. I would love to own one of these. Everyone has seen those lightsaber toys where you pull it out and like the tube comes out and it has like the cheesy lights that you know you can turn on.
I have.
Well,
one.
This thing, the tube was always out. It was made out of like glass, and they were LED lights. So when you turned it on, the light would actually fade on all the way to the end, like it does in the movie. And
Ooh.
It looked, if you were to see it in the dark, it looked exactly like the one in the movie. It looked so real. And it had the sound effect, too, of course, when you turned it on, the zzz, that noise. And when you moved it by the sensors, it would actually make exact identical to the sound. And when you would hit something, like I hit my friend's leg with it, it would have the realistic sound to it when you hit an object. It was really cool as hell. It had, like, LED lights. It was, I think it was a green one. No, it was a red one. It was a red one. It was a really cool, but again, it was $150, you know?
What they call geek rich boy toys.
Exactly. You know, when you have a master's and you're making shitload of money for some big corporation, you're allowed to buy crap like that. But to me, I'm not about the lightsabers. I'm about the Sliders timer and the Jumanji board game. So
oh, yeah, so by the way, John, I'm going to pronounce his last name correctly, Rhys Davies, R-H-Y-S-D-A-V-I-E-S. IES. It's hyphenated. I guess it's Reese or Riss or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Professor Maximilian Arturo, I believe his name was.
Yes.
Was, see, I remember some things.
Yes, he was the best one on the show.
I gotta agree with you right there.
That show was even without when he left, they still did a good job, but it just wasn't as strong.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. You could tell that it died down.
Anyway. My stories. I went to Vaughn. Vaughn was very cool. Everybody is into VoIP now. It's freaking creepy. Like,
The word of telephony is ending, and now it's all about VoIP.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, Microsoft was there. Who else was there? Just, like, companies I never heard of. I actually picked... I have this flyer. It's not in front of me. What a shame. It's through some company, and they're offering cheap CNAM access. And I really wanted to submit a request for a quote from them. I have their number. I think I should fax them.
Oh, man. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty neat. It was much more geared toward providers and people who actually have budgets. And there was literally no swag there. The things that really jumped out at me is Sun's coming up with an instant messenger server that it's Jabber-based, but it has all kinds of crazy VoIP capabilities built into it, and that seemed kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the only thing that really stood out to me. IBM had some interesting things for mid-market type stuff. But, I mean, nothing exciting, nothing that really blew my socks off, and I was, yeah, whatever. Also, I'm actually going to upgrade my new computer, and I gotta say, I now know why I never do it, because upgrading a new computer sucks ass. Just buying all the parts and everything and figuring out what works and what fits and what you gotta buy and whether or not all your current stuff will work on the new motherboard. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's just annoying. I always like building my own PC, but it's frustrating sometimes. Christ. Hopefully I'll have a new case come tomorrow and along with some other things that I'm going to buy and have everything hopefully set up by the end of the week. Here's hoping. At which point I'll go from a P3 733 to a Athlon 1500. I'll still be behind the curve, but a little less.
Well, that's good, though.
A 2100 XP, so it's like 1500 megahertz or something. I don't know how it sets in. AMDs are just weird. Oh, it's got 2100 on it, but you can't run it that fast. Well, what's the point then?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, those are my two stories. I haven't been doing much else. Specific show topics tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about WordPress. And the reason why we have Doug on here is we've both become WordPress whores, as Doug put it. And I got
to say, have Doug on here is because no one else wanted to be on. Just admit it.
I always know. We need to get you on more.
I was last on the list.
Actually, no, you were the first on the list because I was just I had no topic today because I was busy this weekend. I had a bit of a family emergency, so I basically came into work this morning and said, "Oh shit, it's Monday. I have to tape." And I was just like, okay, what can we talk about? And I said, oh, WordPress. WordPress. I upgraded to WordPress. I can do a review of it and talk about it. Who else do we want to get on here? Oh, Doug just upgraded to WordPress. We can get him on here.
Yeah.
And thus Doug was here. And then Strom sort of had to bow out at the last minute. So it's just us for your listening enjoyment. Yeah, my screensaver is really transfixing me right now on my laptop, so I'm going to turn that off.
What kind of screensaver is it?
It looks like it's a gravity simulation of orbiting planets, and it's just, I find that kind of stuff fascinating because I'm a geek, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Anyway, what is WordPress? According to the website, WordPress was born out of a desire for an elegant, well-architectured personal publishing system built on PHP and MySQL and licensed under its GPL. And if you do some research on it, it's the official successor to something called B2, which I believe was a successor to something called Cafe Blog.
Right. B2.
Yeah.
It used to be called B2 Blogger.
Yeah, I actually remember playing around with that and saying, "Boy, this sucked."
That's why I liked WordPress, because I always was a big fan of B2 Blogger. And then I guess, I don't know, I thought they always changed their name to WordPress. I don't know if they got bought out or if they changed their name, but to this day, I'm still a fan of the same system. They've had a nice lot of new features, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, well, B2 was cool, but not what I wanted at the time. It was it was going to be hard to working into my existing site, and that's something that I didn't want. So that's why I opted out of it. But I know it was cool. I liked it. It was very elegant and very well designed. And I believe actually what you were talking about, WordPress was a fork of B2, and basically the guy who was running B2 or something said, "Oh, okay, we'll just sort of move over to this because this guy's doing all this kind of cool stuff." And thus WordPress was born. WordPress is kind of fresh software, but, you know, I think B2 started in like 2001 or something. I don't know the date.
Yeah, around 2001, yeah.
Yeah, pretty mature and stable. And what they try to do is they focus on the user experience and web standards. And it's pretty much a unique tool out there. The only thing that I can really compare it to is something called Movable Type. And Movable Type is another weblog software. All these semi-official blogs The only one that I know that uses it, two that I know are Wonkette and Little Green Footballs, which are two political blogs, left and right wing, respectively. And those are the only two that I know.
I believe a lot of those Tech TV or former Tech TV, whatever the hell they are now, a lot of those people use Movable Type, that commercial software. Isn't it Movable Type commercial software, isn't it?
Yeah, Movable Type is commercial software. Anyway, that's Movable Type, just so you know, is sixapart.com/movable type. And I believe they have a free version, but it's really restricted. And their small version costs $39, and their major version costs $69. Hover, WordPress, free, looks exactly the same, and you'll just have a much warm, fuzzy feeling when you use it or something. So anyway, when I was basically looking to update it to some type of content management software that was kind of low impact and something that kind of looked elegant and not too ugly. So I was torn between WordPress and another web blocking utility called Poseidon, which I completely forgot the URL. And those are the two that I was fiddling with, and I started playing around with Movable Type first because I used Poseidon before, and I liked it. It was really nice and just a very smooth user interface. Also, there's more than a few things I liked about it, and a lot of it's listed on their website, is that it's fully standard compliant. All their little HTML and everything they generate is fully compatible with CSS and XHTML. I believe it's XHTML compatible. It's some W3C standard. I'm not sure which one. The other one that I was looking at was NanoBlogger, which is what BellsMind.net uses, because I was looking for something that, like I said, relatively low impact. However, the thing that really drove me nuts about NanoBlogger and Movable Type, for that matter, was that every time you update your site, you have to rebuild it. You have to run a command, and it regenerates all the files, which...
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, isn't that stupid?
That's just pointless.
Yeah, why would anyone even want to do that? So, yeah, that sort of blew NanoBlogger right out, and along with Movable Type. So WordPress doesn't do that. Neither does Poseidon, for that matter. What I also liked about WordPress is that it was a real content management site. Like, for example, you can have pages that are not part of the whole blogging thing. I hate that term anyway. Like,
blogging.
Blogging, I'm a blogger. Dude, just call yourself internet journalist or something. It sounds a whole lot more official and less sappy. It has pages like, you know, all my stuff for DEF CON, I put on a separate WordPress page, and like two or three other things that I had that were on my old site, I moved over to WordPress, and it was relatively simple. I mean, I had to create the pages, and I had to figure out how to do them. But other than that, it was just sort of straight copy and paste. I took all my old HTML and just pasted them into the new pages, and they WordPress fixed them all up, made them look pretty, and everything worked fine. WordPress has everything, like, all built into its interface, like, you know, links. On top of that, you can have your own little blog rule, which I'm not exactly sure what exactly it is. But it's called a blog rule, and I believe what it is it's a bunch of links, but what it does is it updates, like, you know, say I have, like, you, Lucky, and Stank on my blog rule. If Stank updates, he moves to the top, and then if you update, you move to the top and Stank moves down one below you, and it just keeps on moving around and have the most up-to-date, fresh content on top.
Huh.
Yeah, I believe that's how it works. Someone wants to email me and correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, I'm no new to this whole blogging thing. Oh, boy. WordPress has a ton of themes, and some of them are very elegant. I settled on one that was right on their linked off their front homepage, but there literally are hundreds of ones you can choose from. You didn't choose a default theme, did you?
No, I actually just used my own HTML layout, and I just imported the HTML code, which is really easy to do, over to whatever new layout I was using.
So, like, all your stuff that you had, you just sort of directly imported into WordPress?
Yeah, whatever design that I have or that I'm working on, I can simply just import. I use the I've always used B2 or WordPress now as mostly just designed for a news system. It was easier to post like news updates on a website. Like, for example, when I was working on the Doug Show website, which was supposed to be a radio show, whenever we were going to update news about the show, like what this week's episode was about and things, I would just paste or write everything in the B2 blogger or WordPress. I'm still used to B2 into WordPress and just submit it, and it would be on the front page of the website, and it'll be there and done with. And it was just that's what I always used it for. A lot of people use things like that for their blogs to write about their day or what they're working on, which is what I use on my website now. I use it to anything that I'm working on or anything like that. That's what I use it for. But I never liked – I'm never a fan of any kind of engine and using their default themes and layouts, because a lot of people usually automatically judge you on, you know, what you're using. Like, oh, this guy's a WordPress noob, or this guy's a movable type noob, you know, things like that. So that's why I've always used custom themes. And I would just import the PHP code like that.
Yeah, I just used one of the themes I pulled off their main page. It was not completely different, but at the same time, it kind of stood out. And that's exactly why I kind of moved over to WordPress or just some type of content management type system thingy.
It makes life easier.
I just want to have something where I could update it all the time. Just on a whim,
yeah.
Because my site, I didn't update it within for about 2 or 3 months, and I finally said that, you know, I'm not making any new content. Let's just post something where I can post random things on there. And if you go to my webpage right now, the top story for me is something called "This Disturbs Me," and it's a picture of a city toilet in Boston. And it says right on top, city toilet, and then if you look right below it, it has a little sign that says, this property is protected under electronic surveillance. And it's just something that I ran across. It's like 2 blocks from my building, and it was just something that I said, oh, well, where the heck can I post this? And I said, oh, I can put it on my website. And WordPress just made it that easy.
Yeah, that's exactly why I made my own website recently, was just so I could post anything that I'm – any little thing or, like, for example, right now I just posted, I'm going to be on Binary Revolution Radio. If you care, listen to it. You know, if you know who I am, if you're actually interested in shit that I'm doing, it's a good website for that. Or if you want to show some friends something that, you know, you're working on or some rant you want to talk about. And that's also why I have a gallery for – I like to take pictures a lot. And now I finally have something that I don't have to worry about because it's on my own hosting. I can post pictures, just upload JPEGs, and then automatically it's going to be on my website. It makes life so much easier.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I just checked out cdouglas.org, and I found out that you're going to be on BinRev Radio Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. PT / 9:30 p.m. ET. Actually, you might want to change that. If you listened to a couple of weeks ago, you'll turn out that you're technically not on Rant Radio Talk. You'll be on Rant Radio Talk next week.
Oh, what did you guys? Oh, wait, what? You guys changed the system now?
No, they changed the system on us, and they pull it off the podcast now. In case for anyone who didn't know, if you're listening to this on Rant Radio, technically you're listening to last week's episode. If you're listening to it right now, if you turn over to the DDP Radio at DDP Radio, what is it, ddphackradio.org, I believe, go over there, and you'll pick up the fresh, steaming new episode that we just put out.
Oh man, they get it from a podcast feed?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. Like I said, it's a lot easier to me. But you can listen to this rant on episode 110, I think it was. It's a lot easier for me, but at the same time, I don't like, because I think that Rant Radio has a much larger stream than we have. But whatever. It's the way they want to do it. They basically sent an email to Stank saying, "Hey, we're doing it this way now," and we said, "Yeah, fine, okay, whatever."
Still, though, so wait a minute. Do they do this for every show? They just get a podcast, and it's going to be a week delay?
I'm assuming so. Well, no, if you want to update your podcast early, that's fine, but for us, that wasn't an option.
So, okay, they get the show from a podcast, and it's up to the host. Like, as soon as they upload it, that's when they're going to broadcast whatever the latest podcast is.
Yes.
Okay, I think, well, why don't you just upload the podcast the same time you upload DDP Hack Radio?
Because we upload DDP Hack Radio after the show kicks off at 9:30. We've already discussed this. Listen to the old radio show. Let's go move back to WordPress.
It just seems that's really stupid of Rant Radio. I don't know why they would change something that worked.
Personally, I agree with you. I think it's kind of silly, but...
Anyway, it's your radio station, whatever.
When I met one of those guys at Rant Radio, I asked about, you know, what the hell are they thinking of, and he kind of agreed with me. So at least I know it's not all Rant Radio. It's just specific people in general that work there that don't know what they're doing.
Well, technically, this is the Internet. No one knows what the hell they're doing. Moving back to WordPress. Moving back to WordPress. Some of the cool stuff, like I was talking about the blog roles, they have like cross reblog communication tools. What that is if, for example, if Charlie, look at that. If Doug links to my site and links to one of my entries, I can see it. I get an email message saying, "Hey, someone linked to your site. Check it out. You know, this is what they said about it." And they have all kinds of stuff where
They have that? I didn't even notice that.
Oh yeah, they have it. It's called like trackback pings. You have to enable it, I believe, but it's. I know. I actually think it's enabled by default. Like, for example, I posted, I accidentally linked to one of my articles, and I got this email message saying, "Hey, check this out, blackratchet.org, link to one of your articles." And I was like, "Oh, no shit." I did it. So, and they also have that, like, the blog roll capability where you can do it by hand, and it's pretty interesting, all the stuff they've kind of developed around this whole system. It's pretty cool, I gotta say.
That is cool.
Comments. People can leave you comments. I think one person has left me a comment. You can actually turn it off if you want, because in case you don't like comment spam and everything. Like, for example, I don't believe you have comments enabled. No, you don't.
No, I took that in the actual PHP code on the website after you couldn't see any comments or anything, because I don't really think anyone has care enough to comment anyway.
Dude, I'm
going to
comment on this Rant Radio story. Like, you noob, you can't do it on Rant Radio.
Hey, I fixed it.
So a lot of people turn off comments because of spam, and people, what they do is they basically, you know, leave you a comment. "Hey, that's a really interesting story. You should really check out my website at xxhotbabes.com. So you can disable comments. However, WordPress also has spam protection. Good shit. What they do is they have all kinds of interesting stuff where they have, like, you know, blacklisted URLs, blacklisted words, context management. You know, they don't let people just post tons and tons of links. They'll say, "Hey, you need to actually include some text in there." Also, another way of preventing spam is they have a user registration. Like, for example, well, I have to register to post articles, and if I wanted to have Doug post on my site, he'd have to register too. But if you want to leave a comment on my site, I'm not sure if I have anonymous comments enabled. You can make it so that only people who are registered on your site and provided a valid email address and actually go through the registration process are the only people who can send you comments. You can password protect posts for some reason. You can have it so that you can only post little articles that only certain people can get into if they know the secret password. LiveJournal has this. I thought it was a stupid back then, and I still think it's stupid now. Send a bloody email out to your friends if you want
them to
view it.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense to me.
The other thing that they do, well, we'll get into this later, is that, for example, if you're into a multi-author environment, if we shared a website and you created something and you password protected, I couldn't go in and sneak in and edit it unless I knew the password. But I guess that's kind of important. But if you're running a website with people, hopefully enough you can trust them so they won't edit your articles maliciously. They tout that it's easily installed and upgrades, and I got to say that they are completely right. It is just a breeze to upgrade and install, because I think they've upgraded once since I started using it, and it was basically unload this tar file, give us your password for your database so we can write it down, and then we'll take care of the rest. And installation was a breeze too. I'll get into that later. Easy importing, like Doug said right there, you can basically do anything. And they also have built-in importing for movable type, text pattern, gray matter, Blogger, and B2, which are all different blogging softwares. Something that I found interesting is they have an XML RPC interface, which is a fancy way of saying we have an open way of actually controlling posts and everything, so you can basically download clients and update them from wherever you want. Like, for example, there's a few ones where you can run directly on your PC and have it update your website. I got blogtk.sf.net, which is Linux. It's a GTK blogging client software updater thingy. Windows.
Well, that's what it is, technically. Windows has something called WBlogger, which is WBLOGGAR.com, not E. And there's also one for Mac. Mac has this surprisingly doesn't have a lot. I was kind of shocked at this. You have a dashboard plugin if you have, was it 10.4, I think it was, and that's PanIris, PanIris.com/WordPress-. Pardon me, I just had supper. So, what that is basically what happens is you run this in your, you know, your laptop, your desktop. You don't have to log into your website and use all their interfaces. And WBlogger, I found that it was very nice. I haven't actually used it. I was Googling the screenshots today and saying, wow, I should actually download this and use this, and that way I won't have to log in and go to my website and everything. One of the things they tout is workflow. Like, for example, what you can do is you can have a website with multiple people, and certain people can't publish directly to the website, but they can submit articles to you, like Slashdot, and you can choose what goes to the website and what doesn't, which is a very
interesting feature.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. I always think it would be fun to actually have something where we could have, like, you know, news-related stories. What I was thinking is, like, for example, we could have, like, two or three different people. If we didn't have the Binary Revolution radio interface already, this would be a pretty cool thing that we could have for BinRev Radio. We can post the show notes and everything and have someone who can just edit the articles and add show notes, and it would be pretty cool. They have, I don't know what you would call, various typographical niceties. The engine that they use to convert all your stuff over to HTML and XHTML and CSS, it's pretty intelligent, and it can take pretty nasty and not make a complete butcher job out of it. Like I said, multiple authors. What you can do is basically, Doug and I, if we wanted to, we can create our own website. We can both create articles and edit and add, and we won't have to worry about intruding on each other's website because it'll just all update it automatically. Bookmarklets, which is a fancy way of just having links. It's basically an easy way to have controllable blog rules and everything. What WordPress does is something called Ping-O-Matic, which is one of the first blog rolling engines. Basically, if you don't have all this fancy stuff at your fingertips, you can just sort of subscribe to the service, and it will update it automatically for you. So my impressions is that it was a breeze to install and set up. Basically, I fed it a password, and it created everything automatically, and I think the install process from me untarring the tarball to running the software and actually making my first post was around 15, 20 minutes. How long did it take you, Doug?
To set it up?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, it'd probably be around the same time, 15, 20 minutes. It really is an easy thing to do. All you have to do is you pretty much unzip the package, you add a database, and then you run the install PHP file, and it's as easy as that. It gives you a password, you set it, you change it, you're done.
You know, it's
like, if you're not doing any kind of custom themes or anything and you just want a basic blog on your website, WordPress is probably the way to go.
Definitely.
More than likely, because it really is easy. And I'm a complete noob when it comes to any kind of database configuration or any kind of Linux installation or any of the kind of that crap. You know, when it comes to this is really easy. If you know HTML, you can do this.
I personally like the UI, the user interface and everything. It's very clean and
the control panel that they have, or not really control panel, but the administrator panel, it's real, real easy. So,
yeah, it's pretty sweet. I enjoyed it. Too many complicated themes. Like, some of the themes they have to download are just insane. It's a lot easier to download and install them. It's a lot easier. It's very easy to download and install them, but actually, like, the layout and looks of some of them, it's people just put way too much time and effort in this, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
They basically had one where it would look like an old-style newspaper on your web browser, and I just looked at that and said, ooh, who would want that? But sure enough, there were, like, five people that I saw were linking off the website that said, oh, yeah, they use this every day. And I was just like, you sick, sad people, you. Yeah. Personally, the one complaint I had about it is they lie. It's very hard to add non-blog content. Unless, of course, you're talking about static HTML. Like, I had all my photos there,
and I had a hell of a lot of time to actually update them and install them. And I still don't think they work correctly yet. I still need to work on that. Like, but what I wanted to do is I just wanted to have something where it would pick up a random photo and display a thumbnail in one of the corners, and that is just apparently way too hard for anyone to figure out. So I'm going to have to go sit down on the WordPress source code and go figure this damn stuff out and run my image magic and everything. Do you have any complaints about it, or is it so far so good for you?
So far so good. I haven't discovered any real bugs or anything, any kind of, you know, major exploits or anything like that. I know that some people have gotten shut down with WordPress, like older versions, but usually nine times out of the ten, like Hacker Media got shut down. Someone owned Hacker Media, and they were using WordPress, but he never updated the version. I think that was what happened.
Well, basically, you're going to run into that no matter what software you run. Something discovered.
Yeah,
the
no matter what.
Screwed.
Yeah, no matter what software. That's why you got to make sure you keep everything updated. Everything, you check the website once a week, make sure there's not a new version out. You know.
Well, the really cool thing that I liked about it is in the administrator panel, it had it right there saying you basically looked at their they had a, like, embedded their website, and they had, like, you know, new version out, you know, 2 weeks ago. And so if you ever log in directly into your WordPress site, you'll see, oh, hey, there's a new version out. I should go download it.
Huh.
Well, you never saw that?
No, I never did. There's a lot of parts of it in the newer WordPress that I haven't even seen yet. So.
Yeah, well, no, it's like when you first log in, you go to something called, like, Dashboard or something. At least I have in mine. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Overall, thumbs up for me. I enjoyed it. It's a very small, low impact system, and apparently you can go pretty complex with it and it won't mind. So
yes,
and as always, it's free, so it's a lot better than WordPress. I'm not sure, movable type, whatever it is.
WordPress is the shizzle, end of story.
Indeed. So we have no announcements. No one go sent that in. I guess we can start plugging. Week after next is your local 2600 meeting, wherever that may be. Do you go to your 2600 meeting? Is GWASDI 2600 still active?
No, GWASDI 2600 I don't think was ever active. I think maybe it was active once, and that was just me lucky an accident. That was about it. But it wasn't really a 2600 meeting. It was mostly, let's just go to Denny's and eat some samplers, and that was it.
Oh, isn't that what it is? Oh, I think that's what 2600 is anyway. Basically, you get there, you eat food, and that's about it.
And it's always a Denny's for some reason.
Well, I don't know. It could be a Southern California thing. For us, it's usually it's potential food.
You guys, you guys have real diners. That's the difference in Southern California. We don't have real diners. We don't have real food in Southern California. I have to say, after being in New York for a weekend, and it's been a while since I've been in New York, but being able to be there for a longer time to experience the food, everything in Jersey and New York, I have to say that California really sucks.
The only thing I like about California is sitting there going, no.
Well, yeah, Natus will disagree with me 100 times because Natus is all about California. He thinks California is way better than New York, and he thinks New Jersey is a shithole. And there's a lot of places in New Jersey that is a shithole. Don't get me wrong, but as far as
I watched Sopranos, I know how New Jersey works.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like Jersey City goes, and there's a lot of other towns out there that I've heard of, Madison, things like that. The East does kick California's ass big time. The only thing about California that I truly do like is the weather. That's it.
Because you're a pussy and you don't like snow.
Yes, snow sucks.
I don't want a shovel.
Yeah, screw that shit, man. In California, you walk out any time of the day you want. We don't have to worry about dying. The thing we get out here is...
Dude, go walk into Compton and say that. How about that?
The thing we have in California is, at worst, is just, heavy rain. That's about it.
Heavy rains, mudslides, earthquakes.
Mudslides in ghetto areas like San Bernardino, that's it. Ask Strom about that. Even he will tell you that parts of California like that, you know, is the only place you're going to get mudslides.
Earthquakes?
Earthquakes happen very, very rarely.
Compton. You guys get Compton out there. I play San Andreas. I know how the ghetto works.
Yeah, you learned shit from fucking The Sopranos and Grand Theft Auto.
Man, that's how it is. They're all documentaries.
All I got to say is food-wise, though, I don't eat that much because, as you know, I'm very skinny, but if I were to live in back east, that would change. That would change big time. Everything out there is good, and a lot of it is just because of the bread. The breading out there is unbelievable. I can't believe food would ever taste that good. No wonder.
The breading.
The bread. Bread out there is so much fresher than it is out here.
Really?
Everything. Like,
are like Californians unable to bake bread?
I don't know. I thought like bread was always bread, blah, bread, you know? But fucking out there, I ordered from Pizza Hut, and Pizza Hut, they made it the same way they do out here, but the bread tastes better. Like, the breading of pizza tastes better. Everything out there tastes better. You know, of course, I mean, New York, it's got the best everything food-wise, the best pizza and everything, but even from Pizza Hut, you know, some just
Chicago
a normal pizza
Chicago kicks New
joint.
York's ass in the pizza department, I'm sorry.
All right, well, I don't know. I have to say that New York had some pretty damn good pizza. And
they have good pizza, but I'm a much bigger fan of deep dish myself.
All right, well, I will have to come down to Chicago sometime and try it out. But I have to say that back east, I can now see what people are talking about. I'm not going to say that they're crazy. I used to always be like, ah, California for life. It's California. But New York probably is the maybe not the best. I won't go that far as most people do, but it was a damn good city.
Yeah, because we all know Boston is the best.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have to say that people like Mattis disagree with this too, because he lived in New York for a while. But I got a better vibe from people in New York. People seem to be, I don't know, I guess 9/11 really did change a lot, but everyone out there was respectful. The bums, everyone that was trying to solicit, you know, you shit, trying to sell shit to you, everyone was just nicer than they are in Los Angeles. So I don't know, maybe it's just me. I just noticed that it was more friendly out in New York, which is, you know, it didn't used to be like that, but now it is.
Well, we have now a review of New York on Min Rev Radio from our friend Doug.
Yeah, that's totally off topic, but you know what? I don't have my own radio show, so I have to rant somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have any announcements you want to make?
Listen to Geek Love Radio next week because I'll be on it.
Oh, sweet. I will be sure to. You should post that on your blog.
Yeah, I will post that on my what do you call it? What did you call it earlier? Your internet journal.
Internet journal. That's what it is, really. I mean,
my internet journal.
Have you read most of these? It's like people saying, "Oh, I ate soup today. It wasn't that good."
I am sitting
in Starbucks on my PowerBook, talking away, and
yeah,
I am just admiring the people on the street, and I'm ghouled because I have a PowerBook and they do not.
I will use the internet journal on my website to post certain rants or opinions, but I'm not going to post about, "Oh my God, my friend is such a dick. He totally stole my car and fucking." my sister overdosed on drugs and heroin. I'm fucked. I have no money. I'm not gonna post like a 14-year-old teenage girl. You know, you gotta post. It's about things that you discover that are interesting. You know, like you do on your internet journal. Anything that's big going, any project that you're working on, any project that I help working on, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not to post about every day of my life, about every single detail. That's just absurd.
I know like certain people that post like, you know, at least every day, like two or three times a day, and they just, there's no content. And you just go,
yeah.
Why are you posting? What's the point?
And then that's
live journal. Hell, MySpace.
That's another damn thing. MySpace. Everyone and their mother, literally their mother, has a MySpace. I was going on MySpace. I used to have a MySpace for a while, and then I deleted it because I just got tired of it. But then someone suckered me into getting one again, and sure as shit, when I got one, I modified it. You know, I changed all the bands, the movies that I'm interested in. I made it look good because I don't want my shit to look default for some reason. That's just me. I have this thing
Tucks
about
on default
not looking,
on MySpace.
Not looking default. And if you have a MySpace that's on default, you're a noob. But anyways, fucking, I got into it. And then I started searching for people because I was like, what the hell? You know, I wonder if these people have it. I started going through friends in elementary school, and I typed their real name, and sure as shit, they had a MySpace too. And that's the cool thing about it, was being able to keep in contact with people I hadn't talked to in years. And then I found out that even my family members, people family I don't even talk to, that had MySpace, and it kind of freaked me out, because a lot of it, too, is I found some old friends, like this one girl I used to talk to when I was in fourth grade. And she was a really cool girl. She was one of those, you know, good girls in school, got straight A's. She was one of those smart asses, you know, kind of girls, and she was really smart and nice. Sure, shit, I pop in her name, and I see her MySpace. She's gotten, you know, she's more developed now. She's fucking hot. But the problem is, not that there's anything really wrong with this, but every sentence that she typed was, every other letter was capitalized in lowercase. Everything that she was asked was a Z. And her class was totally different. The kind of guys that she talked to, everyone knows what I'm talking about. It was just horrible to see some, like, of your cool friends from elementary school, these nice people, turn into this kind of character. And I was like, well, I was thinking about adding her as a friend and sending her a message and saying, hey, I found you, but I think it's best that I just don't speak to this person because I'm kind of afraid to find out their history and what they've been going through.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, I couldn't be able to speak to them. They would just start talking to me in a completely different way, and it's just it's not the same person. It's just horrible. And then I find out some other friends that were going on that these girls' mothers now have MySpaces.
Ooh, that's just wrong.
And it was horrible because these girls, like their boyfriends and stuff, I guess the mom was posting comments on their MySpaces, like, I don't want you talking to my daughter like this. And it's just really horrible how much this Tom guy that invented this, how big it has gotten.
Tom, you're cursed to all mankind.
But there was one guy that sent me a link that looked exactly identical. Someone cloned the MySpace design. But it was kind of somewhat of an anti-MySpace site, even though it had the exact same engine of it. It was like open source, though. And it was like, over here, we're not like Tom trying to steal your money. It was like exactly just like MySpace, but it didn't have ads.
Hmm,
so I think some guys trying to compete. I wish I could remember the website, but I don't. But some guys trying to compete with MySpace.
You should post that on your internet journal.
I'll post it on my blog. I'll write about my blog.
Right after you complain about your soup.
Before I go to bed and when I have my ice cream, I'll write about my blog so everyone can read it. But yeah, MySpace, it's disgusting. It's fucking, everyone has it. So if you have one too, go ahead and feel free to add me.
I got to say, though, MySpace is funny. Just reading all these random people out there and just looking at them. And you can feel a lot better about yourself. And I'm sure people, like, if I had one or they visit my website, and they say they feel much better about themselves when they look at me. But, you know, that's what the internet is.
Yeah,
it just makes the world go round.
A lot of it's just sad, though, because one of the reasons I got it, too, was a lot of my friends from high school and shit, it seems that this is the only way they think they can communicate. There's this thing called email. There's this thing called instant message. There's this thing called picking up a fucking phone and calling somebody. And it seems that the only way that they can keep in contact is through MySpace. It's like, do you have an email address? No, I don't. Well, didn't you have an email address to register this MySpace account? And it was like, no, I only got a Yahoo account so I could set this up in the first place.
No, I don't check it.
Like, why would you want to email me when you can just send me a message right here where everyone I can talk to is in the same, you know, group? And it's just, it's horrible.
Because it's lame. Anyway.
People are such noobs. But yeah, anyways, back to the original thing.
As George Carlin always says, nail two pieces of shit together that have never been nailed together before, and some asshole will buy it. I believe that was George Carlin. Right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
George Carlin is the man, though.
Yes.
But next week, listen to Geek Love Radio, because I have an actual interesting story to talk about.
Oh, that's cool.
We're perfect for the Geek Love audience.
I believe that's geekloveradio.com?
Yes, geekloveradio.com.
Okay, just so everyone knows. Site of the week. I've been fooling around with this lately. I've been cracking my own wireless encryption protocol keys. I'm not sure if it's ever been mentioned on the show. I assume it has been. Webcrack, WEPCRACK. And that's that word spelt out, .sf.net. It's on SourceForge. It's Linux. And what you do is you feed it a bunch of packet dumps from sniffing wireless, like your own wireless, because we wouldn't want to use this to break into someone else's network. And you just sniff it and you crack it, and you can find people's wireless encryption keys because of a weakness in the wireless encryption protocol method. Really interesting and very, very, very scary. Email, as always, radio@binrev.com. Our voicemail, 213-415-1047. And for those of you who are listening now, at the end of the show, I have an announcement. Hopefully, next week, if all goes according to plan, will be Introduction to Freaking, and this will be BinRev Radio's first live show. And oh boy,
you guys are going live, huh?
Yeah, we're going to. Well, it's going to be a once in a while thing. I've been very hesitant to do this because there's a very small margin of error, and if we screw up, basically there's going to be no show, I think. I'm not sure what's going to happen, to be honest with you. So, actually, right.
Are you taking call-ins? Is that the
yeah,
deal?
Yeah, we're taking call-ins, so get ready and have your shows on freak, have your questions on freaking ready, or email us, because nobody's emailing us anymore, and it makes me sad. and just get ready. And hopefully we'll be there. But if we tape next week, we'll put it right at the beginning of the show that it's not live, and I'll make an announcement in the IRC channel on the forums. But hopefully, if all goes according to plan, it will be live. So our closing music tonight is Compost, and 100 Comes Along is the name of the song. So once again, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack time.